Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another opportunity for these profound, in-depth conversations that I have every week. And I am just so grateful for this time and this opportunity to share with you some profound and uplifting and inspiring conversations, because this show really is about empowering you with truthful information so you can make informed choices in your life, so you can be guided and navigated through your journey as best for you. And part of that process of navigating through life is to have an expansive mind, to be open, to learn, to heal, to address, to feel, and to really embrace this amazing adventure that we call life. So as always, it's just wonderful that we're having these conversations, and particularly the conversation I'm having today. I just want to say, before we have this amazing guest, before I introduce her, I just wanted to make sure everyone understands, if you want to get the archives from What Women Must Know, you have many ways to do that. You can like me on my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know. You can go over and opt into my website, which is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, drcherylspellman.com. You can go to Podbean. You can go to many other portals that have podcasts, because I'm everywhere. So I hope you'll be joining me and listening to the archive shows and just staying tuned so you can stay inspired and uplifted. So today we are exploring opening to our sensual feminine essence. And we're having this amazing conversation with a wonderful woman, a very profound woman who is called Paraqua. And Paraqua is calling from Moscow. I haven't actually had a guest before calling in from Moscow, so this is definitely a first. And I just want to introduce her, a little bit about her and her journey. So Paraqua is a pioneer in opening sensual feminine essence to help women restore self-acceptance and love in their body, bringing forth an extraordinary healing sound that is part singing in a range never heard before on the planet, part multidimensional healing, part evoking the feminine goddess within all women, and Paraqua stands alone. She is the world leader in applied spirituality for women. She is a composer and lyricist expressing the passionate journey of being fully human, longing for the source of love, for total awakening. Originally jazz trained, later integrating Native American, Indian classical, Middle Eastern, and electronic flavors in her ear-watering, quote-unquote, blend, being constantly branded as the voice of the sacred feminine, the voice of Mother Earth, Paraqua expresses a very feminine soul of sound. Touring the globe since 1997, she is a light shining the way home, and Paraqua is the creator of such deep practices as vocal yoga, vocal tantra, and emotional cleansing that became a foundation for her potent workshops. So that's just a little bit about this amazing woman. So stay tuned, because we have quite a transformational conversation in store for you today. So it is my great honor and pleasure to welcome Paraqua to What Women Must Know. So Paraqua, hello and welcome. I don't really know how to say hello in Russian. How do you say hello in Russian?
Well, you can say Dobrый день. Dobrый день. But that's okay. Hello is perfect for me. My first language is English, so it works.
Yeah. So are you fluent in Russian, just out of curiosity?
No, not yet. I think I need 20 more years of my life to get fluent in Russian.
Well, yeah.
Difficult language.
It's a difficult language, yeah, for sure. Well, anyway, I'm so glad you're fluent in English. it's just so wonderful to have you on the show. I have been reading your bio. I actually have been looking at your YouTube. I mean, you're an extraordinary talent of people have never heard of her class. You really want to check out a lot of the YouTubes. Go to her website, which is her name, Paraqua, which I will spell right now because they wouldn't figure that on your own. So it's P-E-R, Peru, like Peru, the country, Qua, Q-U, this is French, Q-U-O-I-S, Paraqua.com. Can I ask you what that means, Paraqua?
There's no specific meaning to the name, actually. But yes, if people think of it easily, it's like Peru, the country, and it's the same spelling as Iroquois, except for with Peru. So if you know the Iroquois Indian, then it's Paraquois. So, yeah.
Okay. Yes, I was just curious about that. You're quite extraordinary in what you're bringing through to the world, but also your own personal journey of healing and transformation. And I think that's a good place for us to start in this conversation today is the journey that you have been on from the things you had to experience early on in your life and how it led you to the spiritual work and the spiritual purpose that you have brought into the world. And I always like my guests to talk about their journeys because it reminds us and emphasizes that to really come into this world and fulfill our purpose, we bring in challenges, and those challenges are actually the keys to opening to the true power that we have, but we may not feel that in the moment. So with hindsight, we see the journey we're on, right? So
absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about the journey that you created for this lifetime, what your soul brought in, and how it supported you on this huge mission that you're on. It's extraordinary gift that you brought in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a very special genetic pattern from my mother's, my grandmother's, etc. They gave me this very difficult condition, which is a rotation and disformation of the hips. And, you know, at first you can't really see it in the child, but as they grow, the legs start to turn inwards, the hips turn inwards, the bum rolls out, and you kind of walk like a duck, basically. And then eventually it leads to severe deterioration of the hip joints, etc. And depending on how badly in the lineage you got the condition. So I got the condition. And somehow my mother missed it when I was a child, which is understandable because at a pertinent time, there is a moment in a child's development where you can put the child in calipers, straighten up the legs when they're not yet walking. But my mother missed that window because my father at this time mysteriously disappeared in the great South Pacific Ocean, which goes down into the South Pole, huge, powerful, wild ocean. And he disappeared on a fishing trip, him and his crew, was never found. And so my mother was left with four children and obviously a great big hole in her. So hence her availability of mothering went down enormously because she went into huge survival pattern. And who wouldn't, you know? So when they finally saw the condition in me, it wasn't until a little bit later. And they said, wow, you missed the window. Oh, but guess what? You know, we can do a surgery on you and straighten your legs up. And just before I was 11, they came up with this new experiment. And their idea was to chop the main bones, the bones that run between the knee and the hip, the femur, cut them all the way through, turn the legs outward on each side to make the legs straight instead of rolling in, and then re-knit the bones with big bolts, you know, and put you in a cast and, you know, let the muscles and the bones re-knit over some months and then teach you to walk again. This is their idea that this could work. In truth, it was a butchery, and it didn't work. except physically, I looked more straight. But it was, as you said just before, Cheryl, about everything that we manifest, which is an enormous trauma in our life, can either scar us or it can be the pain that leads us to that door to ask, how do I get through this so that I can truly live my life fully? And that's where I was somehow at the age of 11 when I went through this surgery. I really recognized that it was a great opportunity. I could be like a normal person, so I thought. But it was a very lonely and difficult path, but it gave me an incredibly great value or wisdom. And that was, I suddenly realized what an incredible value it is to have legs that walk and a body that can walk and be like other people, because I was put through the process of the surgery eventually into a center for disabled children that would never walk again. So in the face of that kind of adversity, where I was only in plasters for 3 months, these kids would never walk. And it taught me and it opened up my heart so much that if you can be in the body, and, you know, it just taught me the incredible will, I guess. It switched my will on so profoundly that I said, I will walk and I will be like, quote, a normal person. But it also switched on incredible compassion. I was no longer a child after that surgery.
Well, so did it eventually allow you to walk properly, or do you have any consequences from that genetic problem?
Well, I mean, physically I looked a lot better, and I was walking, and I'm still forming my bones and everything through my teenage years. But as soon as I hit about 18, I got chronic sciatica and so much pain. And in my menstruation, I would just be in agony every month. And I really looked like an 80-year-old woman, the way I moved at this stage in my life. So that became an incredible driving force for me of how do I be in the body, follow my passion, and live with this pain. What can I do to transform it? So the pain actually continued with me through my entire life. And so I'm a very, very good friend with pain. Pain for me is always like a constant reminder to stay awake. And it keeps me in very deep practice daily to be in my body, to love my body, to wake up my body's connection to the soul, and to what it really gifted me totally was that the body, when it is rooted properly, especially as women, we have access to this profound sensual life force that flows from the planet. I mean, we see it in the rivers, we see it in the ocean, we see it, you know, in the trees, in all of nature. But when we restore the body to this rooted, grounded reconnection with the flow of this mother planet, we have access to something that is so healing and so loving that it wakes up the feminine body. And that is the gift that my pain gave to me.
Well, that's, you know, a powerful lesson to learn and to continue to learn throughout your life.
Most definitely, because it wasn't just like a switching on the switch, as such, you know, it's a step-by-step process, you know, of going from, anybody knows with a condition in their body, a difficult or chronic condition, they go through stages deeper, 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 and you always think, am I ever going to get to the bottom of this, you know?
Yeah.
But the very quest for healing is what keeps us either in a state of depression or, you know, disempowerment, or it keeps us in a state of brightness and beauty and love. And I guess I was given such a big load, you know, to carry through the body, because it was my calling. When I was about 23, I was a young jazz singer. I'd been in the conservatorium already. I'd come through that journey. It was like one of those impossible dreams. I was totally untrained. But it was my destiny, I guess. And I got into the conservatorium. I went through my jazz training. But I knew that my voice had a much bigger capacity for healing than just entertaining, you know, like just singing jazz songs. And by the time I was 23, I was quite well on my career and quite successful in Sydney, Australia. And but deeply unhappy, you know, because somehow I was betraying my womanhood, because I was using both my voice, my feminine energy, to get what I wanted, but at the expense of really being true to a deeper energy inside, that energy of love, that energy of pure power. So I was kind of using it egoically, you could say, at that stage in my life as a young performer. And I really went to a dark night of the soul following this particular pathway where I had become, you know, using my sexuality to get the energy I wanted, you know, using my sexuality to be liked and to be adored, you know, on stage. And this is a very quick pathway to unhappiness for a woman, because sexuality is not for pleasing people. It's actually the very life force that feeds us from within. And it is for us first, you know. But I hadn't realized that at that stage. So I was still using it to kind of feed off of other people's energy, for attention, for adoration, for compliments, to be liked. I mean, it's a very natural state for us women, you know, to want to be loved, to want to be liked. But my soul knew something deeper. And when I was 23, I went to one of those very dark night of the souls, and I cried out to what I felt and had a relationship with this feminine spirit of this planet. And for me, she lives everywhere in the earth, and particularly I had a strong calling to the ocean, because my family are sea people. You know, my father died at sea, my grandparents lived on the sea, my mother married a second fisherman in my teens. So ocean was very, very close and very direct primal guide for me. You know, it's like the ocean doesn't mess around. She can heal you, she can feed you, and she can destroy you in an instant. So I went to her when I was 23 years old, living in Sydney as that young lost jazz singer, and I said, "Mother, where have I gone wrong? Where did I lose my way?" And it was though the very elements of that place, of that space on the edge of a mountain over this powerful sun, you know it, this powerful southern ocean. And it was as though she just totally enfolded me with a voice that I didn't understand existed before, but it was the music of nature. And she spun around me, singing through the wind, through the ocean. And she took me very, very deep into a place I'd never experienced with my voice or as a singer before. And that was into this total communion where I started to sing with nature, sing what I heard, as though it was like a mimicking and a dialogue between the wind, the water, the earth, and singing this particular way with this enormous thirst for where had I gone wrong for an answer to that question. I fell into this very deep state of communion. And what did I discover in that communion was that there is enormous feminine power that we call the Mother Earth, but I had direct communion with that energy. And it just, she just filled me with so much love. I mean, it's a kind of love that I had never, ever experienced before. And it brought me totally into peace. And I said to the mother, if there's any way that that I can help people understand that the vibration, that your voice that vibrates through everything and the very voice of every person is the pathway into union, into healing, into total love, into total connection. Show me how. Are you there, Cheryl?
I'm listening. I'm here.
Okay, great. I just have a cross call coming in, but I think you can't hear it.
I'm still here.
And
I'm just going to say from what I was reading more of your story. I mean that. I mean it was truly a dark night of the soul, from what I understand. Her Kadayumas were ready to just give life up and jump off that cliff or whatever. It was that close to either you die to the old self or you die.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, this is such a powerful place. It was actually a graveyard right sitting behind me.
Okay.
And death was kind of all around me. And I think something that many artists experience is that kind of serotonin, dopamine rush and then crash. And that's actually when a lot of artists have suicided, is in that moment, you know, where they're totally crashing after being so incredibly high in the body from their art, you know. And that was definitely one of those moments for me. So it was definitely like, I cannot go on the way that I am. And so show me the way. It's one of those moments where we say, okay, I've had enough. You know, I can't continue this way anymore.
And then your life totally changed.
Oh, my God, did it change? I always joke and say, be careful what you ask for, because you might get it. Because what I said to the mother was, I promise that if I can sing to wake up this connection to people, to this love, to their body, to this healing, to what's really here for us, then please use my voice for this. But I had no idea how. And I said, please show me the way. Well, within 2 weeks, a Native American medicine man who came down to Australia, was touring in Australia, I met him, and it was the answer to that question, you know, because he said, when we met, you know, I've been waiting for you. You have many people to meet, many people to sing for. It's a whole nother story, which I won't go into right now. But you know, and I really recognize this very ancient man. Now, I remember, I'm 23, he's 50, but he really carried himself like somebody who's lived a thousand, thousand, thousands and thousands of lifetimes on this planet, and with a very deep pool of understanding about what is life and the magic and the mystery of life. So when he said to me, yes, I can teach you, but you are assigned to be one of my seven wives. Well, that was kind of a bit of a unexpected, let's say, present to the whole picture, that I was really not in any way prepared in this modern age to even accept. So it was really literally like burning myself for a month or two, where I was just burning on fire with fear and terror and even rage. I was like, yeah, I know I asked life for this, but this is just too much. You know?
Not this.
Not this. Why does it have to be a hook? So, of course, in my young woman's way, I thought, I'll unhook the hook and I'll do it my way. So I'll just be a student. I won't be his wife and all of that kind of, you know, I thought I'll find my way in and still get what I want. Nope. Life did not accept that particular request. It said, you're either all in or you're on your own path without this man, at least. So I ended up having to jump. And and it was a pretty profound journey. I mean, if we talk about what women need to know, you know, imagine being married to, eventually, it wasn't at this stage, in the beginning there were three wives, but eventually there were seven wives, and there were children born. We live together in America, in the desert, in New Mexico. And it was a very profound journey of 11 years. So you can imagine the level in the early stages of jealousy, of comparison, of wanting to be special and seen by him, you know, as the number one. And of course, I was 23 when I got there. Two of the wives had babies within, I think, 4 months. So I suddenly became a mother, because the principle that he lived by was, you know, every woman is every child's mother, kind of in that tribal way. So I was suddenly, you know, helping the babies get to sleep at nighttime, or called up at 1 a.m. to put the baby back to sleep because I had this special voice, you know. That was very soothing for the children, you know. And so, you know, we really, really had to learn how to burn through that comparative cruel way that women have. And it's often subconscious, so we keep it hidden, we keep it secret, you know. But it is inside this very cruel voice that either raises you up above other women or it cuts you down underneath and is in a constant state of comparison and jealousy. And it was a very profound journey of healing, learning how to get through this, because, you know, most people that face jealousy in relationship, like if you're in relationship with a man and another woman comes into the picture and the jealousy makes a woman completely wild and out of control, you know, it's a kind of like a one-off experience. But imagine living inside of that, you know, where it's not a betrayal, but a constant presence of another woman's beauty and another woman's beauty and another woman's beauty and another woman's pain. Because, you know, as we transform in a relationship, of course all our pain comes up, you know. And normally that's actually what a man deals with, is when a woman is being loved, she often lets go of a lot of past pain with, you know, with a man. It can be sexual pain or, but in this case, it's living and in your face 24 hours a day. So you either transform it or you leave. And that's what I had to, of course, face. So I was in that relationship for 11 years. So you can imagine the depth of what I had to transform living constantly in that kind of environment.
And I have to ask you about that experience, because there was something incredible that happened, I gather, in this journey with these other women, where there was a healing from that competition, which is, I mean, that's part of the wound of the feminine, based on the patriarchy, right? It's like a genetic programming where you are in competition. The most beautiful, the most sexual will get the man, will get the protection, will get the power, will get, you know, whatever. And it's just this wound that women carry, that we can't survive unless we, you know, overcome the others. What this journey was for you was quite profound. But I know that at the end of somewhere in this journey, there was a healing that happened for you with the other women that had a huge impact on healing your husband, your husband, of cancer from what happened. Can you share that? Because I think that's quite profound what happened. I'd like to hear what the experience was.
Definitely. I guess I was about 4 years into that marriage, and our husband was diagnosed with very serious bone cancer. And so he was pretty close to death when it was really, the doctor said, we cannot treat you and you're going to die. And so we called all the women together and said, okay, there's got to be another way. But we don't know how, you know, even though we had touched a lot of magic over these years, we didn't know how to focus our energy, because in truth, we were still split because we're still transforming that energy that you speak about, you know, that because it's divisive, it separates rather than unifies. So at this stage in the relationship, we would go from experiences where we were unified and supportive of each other, and something would come up and it would separate us again, you know? And this healing ceremony, we realized that we could do a healing ceremony, but it would require total union of our love, because it required enormous power and crossing into states of consciousness that are not of the usual, you know, mental logic. It required crossing into trance states, into the mystery. And so we were all very akin to that because we've done a lot of ceremony. I don't know if you're familiar with the Sweat Lodge ceremony, but it's basically a primal reenactment of the cosmos. Mm-hmm. It's done inside of a lodge that's built on the ground. It looks like a womb, and it's filled with hot volcanic rocks. Water's poured on the stones in this black space. People pray, sing, and you're in there for several hours in very hot temperatures, and the consciousness really shifts. But we never focus this energy towards our unified love. And so to do that, we had to really unravel, like get to the absolute core of what was separating us, both from ourselves and from each other, and unify our love. And sound was a really profound part of that, not just the sharing, the talking, you know, the being totally open with each other, but special songs that were given in dream time. And some of them were remembered from, because in the role I played in this family, I was the singing woman. So I carried a vital role in bringing that sacred ceremonial music to the family. And so certain songs were awakened for healing, self-healing, and being able to unify something that we've almost forgotten on this planet. And that is the unified power of sexual feminine energy. The unified power of sexual feminine energy. We only ever really experience it, if we ever do, with our partner, right? Where that orgasmic energy definitely has a healing effect on both of our bodies. But in this case, we needed to cross into more power, more love, because we need to cross into the mystery. And only through opening up the trance state, that mysterious state, you know, of going, dissolving beyond the body and using the vibration of sound and the voice, we started to learn how to open up the gateway into the unknown, into the mystery, because that's the only place we could find healing for him, because he was too far gone. And so we spent several weeks preparing for this ceremony, learning how to cross, learning how to unravel our pain, our separations, and learning how to raise this energy up through that base point in the body, sitting, standing on the earth, through the yoni or the vaginal canal, up through the life channel, through the womb, up through the heart, through the mouth, you know, through the voice, and reconnecting the full big, big nature of a woman. And then pulse that energy, because sexual energy is always pulsing. If you look, our universe is pulsing, the planet's pulsing, your body's pulsing. When you unify that sexual pulse, then we have access to enormous power, and the voice is instrumental in not just mine, but all the women in the ceremony, unified to create that pulse and to open up that gateway to the mystery. So the result of that ceremony was that he was healed. And doctors couldn't believe it. You know, they just couldn't believe it. We were in Albuquerque Hospital, and they were just like, that is impossible. And he said, how did it happen? He said, well, I told you my seven wives would heal me. And they were just like, oh, Mr. Arbuckle, you know, because typical Native American craziness, you know.
Wow. What a profound experience. What a profound healing for everyone.
Absolutely.
Did that transform at that point the relationship of the seven women?
Definitely. We went to a whole new level at that stage in our life, you know, and a really profound understanding of what the potential of a unified love between women could be. And I'm not talking about, you know, that every woman should be married to one man, not speaking of that, just that when we get our ego out of the way, when we really clean out all the things that are keeping us from the absolute source of love and really unify that feminine field, that feminine pulse, that feminine sensual energy, we have power to do great things on this planet, you know. And actually, this really became the basis because it was direct experience. Nobody taught me this. This is came through this service, you know, to love, service to life through those crazy experiences. And by the way, at this stage, I was just having my first, just had my first baby to him. And so for me, it became the basis of my life's work because I totally understood how my womanly body worked, what the possibility of it was to raise up that feminine sensual energy that, you know, in the East they call it Kundalini or Shakti, but that healing, that immensely loving healing, vibrations, those waves, that pulse of life. And so I was given, of course, many, many more songs throughout my life from this point to help women to sing themselves into a state of openness, into a state of giving themselves to the source inside of love, to being able to sing themselves in communion with this mother planet, you know. So that became my life's work.
Well, you know, two things come up as you're sharing this. We know that this is a time when this feminine energy is returning to the planet. It's the emergence of the feminine. We talk a lot about the healing of the feminine and women working with that feminine essence, understanding their bodies, their menstrual cycles, how to work in harmony with all of that which is part of being a woman. But they're theories. They're theories, right? They're nice theories, concepts. But it sounds like you went into that place and had a direct experience of what that means, which has furthered your work, your career, your spiritual purpose with women.
Definitely. That's definitely true. And that's why when it, because I have two hats almost, like two expressions of this, of my nature, of my love, of my beginner woman. One is that I'm a performing artist. So I can create this space inside the concert hall, which is kind of the same as that big room, you know, that big black lodge. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'll have up to 6,000 women, you know, in those concerts, singing together, meditating together, breathing together, dancing together to the music. But I also incorporate the practices that have been born over these many years. And I, you know, I've been in the workshop room now for 27 years because I'm 53. And I started workshopping pretty much after this ceremony. And I've been composing all these years and been giving concerts all these years. So I have one side of me that is the side that's giving the knowledge very directly to women through practices, through very intensive courses, actually. And so I've built a whole body of how for women to go through this reclaiming of themselves. So this is my body. This is my life. This is my love. And also to give them a very direct pathway to cleaning out that trauma. You know, we have so many conditions in us. We have the good girl syndrome, where we always want to be good, for to be loved, to be liked, you know, and we give our power away. We have the guilty woman inside that's constantly lying to herself, you know, and giving her power away in life because she hasn't faced where she gave her power and how she gave her power or to whom or in what situation. You know, we have this raging woman inside who's absolutely pissed at what's going on this planet, you know, and doesn't know why she's so angry and why it raises so much pain and destruction in her nature, because really there's a deep part of woman that knows the truth, but she needs a way to balance that power so that she can actually use that energy constructively rather than rage, you know, or anger, rather than destructively destroying her own love, destroying her own relationships. So I have courses for that. I have courses for the most important passageway for woman, which is the birthing pathway, you know. So how to let go of the pain of lost babies, miscarried babies, aborted babies, traumatic births where her power was taken away and she had to go through the cesarean pathway, you know, and how to clean that out of the womb. And then, of course, the other thing that just totally locks down this sensual energy, of course, is our sexual pathway, our sexual initiation, you know, how we came to lose our virginity and what kind of energy we attracted to ourselves sexually throughout our life. There's so much trauma in the yoni inside of woman generally, inside of the vaginal canal. And, of course, it breeds in her this feeling that she's not enough, that she's not fully in her body. She doesn't love her body when there's this sexual pain and trauma and disempowerment. So, you know, I've built a whole world of courses to take women through these journeys and to really, like, wake her up and give her practices, dances, sounds, meditations, voices, to find her own voice and to reclaim her body, her sexuality, her sensuality. And then there's the whole body of music, and there's a lot of film clips on YouTube that I've made over the years, video clips, that really demonstrate that energy and that transformation that I speak with. So it's been a big, big focus for me to actually create something. As you say, it's not theoretical. It's a direct pathway for women to be able to go in and to reclaim and to heal themselves.
And that's what's so powerful and what is so needed, because unless you have direct experience, you know, you don't have it. And the fact that you had this time learning the rituals and the ceremonies from the Native American tradition, probably some medicine in there too, and then going off to India, which, oh my God, you know, that music, I've lived in India. That I've never been as transformed and transported in my consciousness as when I was listening to an Indian flute player play. I became the cowherd girls of Krishna. I just loved it. It was incredible. And then there's Middle Eastern music, the power of that music. And, I'm kind of envious. Wish I had that singing talent and then delve into all of those different cultures and bring this tapestry of healing and wisdom and frequencies into the world. It's pretty incredible, Harukwa. I have to say what you have been blessed to experience and then weave into your unique voice, which that's like a whole other story, which we will get into. But I think requires, as I said to you earlier, I'm going to have a second interview with Harukwa from my Love Code show, because we're all this is spiritual, to be honest, but we're going to talk about your voice, this unique vehicle that you channel that is absolutely unique in the world and the impact of that frequency for healing. But that's another big story, and we'll save that for the Love Code. So everyone needs to make sure you visit me on the Love Code and opt into the Love Code, which you can do through my Facebook page, What Women Must Know, or go to Spotify or podcast the Love Code. But I want to, I just want to stay on the theme of the feminine essence. What else do? Well, first of all these programs are available on your website. So if people listening, women listening, want to learn more or participate more or just open to the music and this incredible energy that comes through Paraquat's voice, this frequency, just go to her website. And again, that's Paraquat, like Peru, Peru, and Qua, Q-U-O-I-S, French, you know, Qua, and Paraquat, and learn what's available for this healing, because this really is such an important journey we are on, Paraquat, the return of the feminine, understanding the power that women have within their own essence to heal, to transform, to bring this energy of the of Mother Earth into being, which is the ultimate healing frequency for the planet.
I just want to address, you mentioned the Indian classical music, which is really such an ancient music. It's really one of the oldest forms of cultured music, because you have tribal music, but I would say Indian classical music comes from the Vedas, and it's one of those systems of music that when you sing it, it really returns you to both this state of peace and this state of like inner cosmos. And you said, oh, I wish, but you can, because I have a course on my website called Vocal Yoga. And that is the marriage of the practice of learning how to breathe the body, that sensual body, open, and then sing that body open. And it's using those Vedic sounds, Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Dha Ni Sa, they're from the Indian classical system. And you literally learn in 30-minute daily practice how to sing. You'll learn tuning. You'll learn how to sing in this way where all your body starts to open up and feel this immense peace and beauty. It helps you to trust and to fall in love with your voice again. Or if most people actually don't fall in love with their voice at all, but in life, because they're not encouraged to unless they follow the pathway of singing or acting or something like that. But this course really brings you back into harmony with your frequency, with your voice, and starts to give you the skills and tools to be able to trust your voice and open up that sense of, wow, actually my voice can be beautiful and it can be a creative tool in my life. So that's one important course that just, you know, anywhere that you kind of mentioned, or you've been here in the music, you've been there in the music, you know, I've definitely brought that into the practices so that women can drink from that cup as well. And then there's a whole another body of using, another way of using our voice, and it's a system that I just developed through my own experience. And it was an experience that first happened even before I went to conservatorium. I lost my virginity by being raped by my auntie's boyfriend, and it was such a shock and such a trauma. And I went to the nature, and I was just turning 18, so I was trying to get into conservatorium. I started singing. I went to the nature, and I would be walking just in the forest outside of Perth every day, and something happened. This grief, this enormous pain, this shame I was carrying inside, it started to come out of me as sound. And I started seeing these things in the forest that just sounded wild and totally uncontrolled. But every time I did it, I felt a complete release of this block that I carried in my throat, which actually all women carry if they're raped. It's like having a chain around your neck or some pressure on the throat that you feel you cannot fully release or speak or sing without this pressure there, because it's so related to our fundamental opening of our sexuality. And when it's been strangled by a man who's taken your will, it literally sucks your will. And so I discovered how to open it using the voice. And this was the very first beginnings, I suppose, innocently, of me developing practice and a whole system for women to learn how to use their voice to heal their body. And I'm not talking about singing songs now. And I'm not talking about vocal yoga. I'm talking about primal feminine sounds that release the locks on the throat, that release the locks on the heart, that release the locks in the womb, in that vital, creative, you know, energy that we carry in the body, and releases the locks in the yoni or the vagina, and gives a woman a way to release that pain or those unspoken feelings that she could not release in the moment of many situations we face as a woman, actually in life, where we feel we cannot say or speak or sound, you know, what we really feel. And that is part of reclaiming the body. When those blocks start to clear, something magical happens. There's essential energy that naturally rises from the planet, and it's available now because nothing's blocking it. It comes up through the yoni, it comes up through the womb and through that life channel. And this is where a woman starts to experience almost an orgasmic energy without any sexual kind of touch or without any man being involved. And this is true empowerment of a woman, because then she knows herself as this truly loving, because sexual energy, when it's rooted in love, it's so pleasurable. And our nature as women in truth is to be opened by love and pleasure, and we actually have it built into our bodies. But we can't feel it when it's blocked and traumatized. So that's a big part of the work that women can come and uncover in themselves in the website.
And is that in your vocal tantra course? Is that where it's found?
It's not vocal tantra. I don't actually have a course anymore. That used to be a live event I was leading. But now it's woven into many courses. For example, opening up your orgasmic sensuality. That clears a lot of that. For example, there's a grief course there. If you have a lot of trauma in your womb, it's very much built into that course when you're dealing with anything specifically womb-related. So there's courses like this approach to practice using primal voice, breath, sound, and dance. It's woven pretty much through all of my courses. It's finding for the listener, what do you need? Where are you most blocked? And following, because there's actually a thread through the whole website. You can go from course to course to slowly undo these blockages in the body.
What powerful work. And what necessary work, not just so women can resolve the trauma that exists within women, either through experiences such as rape or abuse in some way, but our culture, patriarchal culture is wounding to women, which we're emerging out of. And, you know, I guess part of the confusion of genders and all that's going on right now is because there has been such confusion about what is feminine energy, what is it to be a woman. You know, it's not just putting the hormones in your body, right? It's not just removing organs. It's a essential frequency of the feminine that has to be awakened.
Absolutely. That's so true, Cheryl, because, you know, I would say that we're a little bit under a grand assault on the planet at the moment, and it's kind of a tearing, especially, I would say, in the West and particularly America and Europe, but it's like a breaking of the natural fabric, which is that this Earth, this universe, basically creates life when masculine and feminine energy make love, come together, come into union. And we've broken that, tried to break that down in typical Western mind into elements to say, vagina means that you're a woman. That's not what makes you a woman. Or a penis makes you a man. It's not what makes you a man. But the fundamental essence of feminine energy flowing through a woman's body makes her a woman. It's like the intelligence of the organs, of the amazingly brilliant hormonal system, and the emotional body of a woman is what defines her as a woman with feminine energy. And of course, you can have a man with feminine energy, but that does not make him a woman and will never do. You can have a woman with a lot of masculine energy, you know, and that's created a lot of confusion on the planet because we've been taught as women to be far more masculine than is natural for us. We have the masculine energy, but it's been cultivated from school and throughout our entire life that this is how we create, this is strength, this is power, this is logic, this is the way. But it's that is not the way for women. It's a balance between those fine energies of masculine, feminine energy. And it's really a grand assault to break away the fabric that creates life, because only when man and woman come together can we actually create a body. Or the masculine, feminine principles, he and she, yin and yang, light and dark. You know, as soon as we start altering those original essences or try to alter them, then we basically break the natural fabric of nature itself. And that's what's happening on the planet, even though we have a rising of feminine energy.
Yeah, well, there's so much to be said there, and we'll have to just hold that until our next conversation. You know, in my work, it's trying to educate women the how by going on the pill and taking synthetic hormones, we are so altering these frequencies and energies that connect us with our true expression of ourselves, you know, and that's so pushed in our culture. So there's so much healing and there's so much education
Absolutely.
And unlearning, returning that is going on right now. It's a big journey. And,
huge.
And you're playing such a beautiful role in this healing of the feminine. You know, what can I say? We're all so grateful to you. I'm sure everyone listening, all the people you've worked with, the thousands of women around the world that have received that wisdom from the journeys that you've offered, and you're sharing so generously of your personal story. So thank you for all that you do. The great mother, no doubt, thanks you. The earth thanks you. We thank you. And I'm excited to see how it all unfolds in the days and years and decades ahead, Paraqua.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you for your service also to really being a voice in the world and bringing other voices into the world, because without, you know, you're kind of like the hotspot, the network bringer, you know, and I really, really appreciate your, not only your own work in regards to working with women, but also being that podcast, it's a great value for me, for your audience. Thank you so much for having me.
No, you're so welcome. And thank you all for listening to this wonderful conversation with Paraqua. Remember, check out the website that Paraqua has of all these courses, and her website is paraquaforhername.com. And until next time, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You've been listening to What Women Must Know, and we'll be here next week. And as always, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.